Where are you going? Dinner. Are there good news?
It is time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
Okay, Mr. President, it's time for your flattery enema. Open wide.
Joining us now is Vice President and dance captain of the Coronavirus Task Force, Mike Pence. Mike, give us your assessment of where we are right now with the coronavirus, which Donald Trump has recently started calling the Hillary flu, or in medical terminology, Obamatitis nanciis pelosis, or COFIFI 19.
All of our experts tell us, and they advise the president as he endorsed these guidelines to avoid social gatherings of more than 10 people, everyone should stay home. All of those recommendations are part and parcel.
I'm sorry, you want us to stay home? Oh, I wish that I could help you, sweetie, but my schedule is crazy right now. I've got Pilates after work. I've got brunch on Sunday. Oh, and next week is Passover, so I'm in Cancun for the annual Blacklight Underwear Foam Party. I already bought those tickets.
What we're pleased to learn is being embraced by states and communities and millions of American families are what we believe is important for every American to significantly impact the spread of the coronavirus.
I have always led such an active life. I'm a social butterfly and kind of a whore. But this COVID spread now is running rife, and my country needs me, so I won't be anymore. I will break the chain. I will social distance, though it sounds mundane. Though I'll be a grouch, my community now relies on me.
Thank you for your efforts.
I will save the human race by lying on my couch. I'll stay home from work for a million days. I will order Grubhub and I'll eat by myself. I will shop online, let my FOMO blaze. I will do my duty till there's Charmin on the shelf. I will crush the curve. I will social distance. I'll be here to serve. While I'm watching Disney Plus, there are lives to save, so I must be brave. I'll defeat the enemy by binging This Is Us. Like my ancestors before me who were called to Vietnam, I'll sit home all day and FaceTime with my mom.
And we need every American to step forward and recognize that if we act now, we can limit the spread of the coronavirus significantly and ultimately save lives.
I will save the day. While I clean my closets, I will skip the gym. Till this plague has passed from 6 feet away. I will socialize.
Back up.
Sorry.
I will do home manicures. fears until we're safe at last.
We can limit the spread of the coronavirus significantly and ultimately save lives.
We will crush the curve. We will turn the tide. But for now, just suck it up and stay the f*** inside. I'm so bored.
Hordes of panicky people seem to be evacuating the town for some unknown reason. Professor, without knowing precisely what the danger is, would you say it's time for our viewers to crack each other's heads open and feast on the goo inside?
Yes, I would, Ken.
We need a cure! We need a cure!
Why, the only cure is bed rest. Anything I give you would only be a placebo.
Where do we get these placebos?
Maybe there's some in this truck. I'm cured. I mean, ouch.
Days before Donald Trump took office, some of President Obama's advisors walked the incoming president's team through a hypothetical scenario remarkably like the one we are living through now. It was a briefing on what would happen if a quick-spreading virus were to race through London and Seoul. And in that scenario, they presented governments imposing travel bans. There were shortages at hospitals across the country. And today, roughly two-thirds of those Trump administration officials who participated in that simulation are no longer in government. Chris Liu was there helping with that exercise. He ran President Obama's cabinet for 4 years. He was also Deputy Secretary of Labor under President Obama.
And what it was a continuation of an exercise that we had done with the outgoing Bush administration before we took office in January of 2009. And so you had 30 senior Obama leaders meeting with their 30 counterparts to walk through three possible scenarios that they might face. And as you said, one of them was a pandemic that originates in Asia and in Europe. That you have a lead time before it comes to the United States. And the goal is, how do you anticipate and respond to potential issues with lab shortages or ventilators? And then how do you effectively coordinate federal and state resources? How do you effectuate travel bans? How do you have unified messaging? And the takeaway from all this was not just hours matter, but minutes matter as well.
While the federal government could have been ramping up testing, tracing, and quarantining cases and containing the spread, the president was lying and claiming this was all no big deal. In fact, we now know, thanks to new reporting in the Washington Post, that U.S. intelligence agencies were issuing ominous classified warnings in January and February about the global danger posed by the coronavirus, while President Trump and lawmakers played down the threat and failed to take action. So either he knew about it the whole time and lied, or he wasn't paying attention during his briefings.
I think I'm sick.
What? What's going on? What kind of symptoms do you have?
I can't swallow. Severe headache.
What's your temperature?
101.8.
Listen, you can't panic now.
I know.
Okay? Are you alone?
I've definitely infected other people.
You don't know that.
What should I do?
Well, I want you to stay in your room, and I'll call the people at the health department. I'll tell them that you're there. Uh-huh. Aaron. You're going to be okay.
No, I know.
Okay. The coronavirus has officially surpassed 200,000 confirmed cases worldwide.
The number of coronavirus cases across the world has now surpassed 300,000, with about 40,000 here in the U.S., or as the president assured us at the start of this crisis.
When you have 15 people, and the 15 within a couple of days is going to be down to close to zero.
So close. Trump's like the dumbest Price is Right contestant in history. Donald, how much for this brand new Porsche dining set and 10-day luxury stay at the Ritz-Carlton in Hawaii?
Close to zero.
You say the Americans were scared, though. I guess nearly 200 dead, 14,000 who are sick, millions, as you witness, who are scared right now. What do you say to Americans who are watching you right now who are scared?
I say that you're a terrible reporter. That's what I say.
Go ahead.
I think it's a very nasty question, and I think it's a very bad signal that you're putting out to the American people. The American people are looking for answers, and they're looking for hope. And you're doing sensationalism, And the same with NBC and Comcast.
So
I don't call it, I don't call it Comcast.
Help.
I call it Comcast. Let me just, for whom you work, let me just tell you something. That's really bad reporting.
Trump's advisors struggled to get him to take the virus seriously. Health Secretary Alex Azar couldn't get through to Trump to speak with him about the virus until January 18th, when he reached Trump by phone. The president interjected to ask about vaping and when flavored vaping products would be back on the market. He was more concerned about vaping than coronavirus. He is a 16-year-old high school burnout trapped in a 70-year-old retiree's body. Our hospitals might run out of masks and ventilators, but at least Trump will still make sure they have plenty of peppermint e-juice. Smoke this. It'll make the pain stop, or it won't. There's no science behind any of this.
We're going to be pretty soon at only five people, and we could be at just one or two people over the next short period of time.
Congress's top doctor has told Senate staffers that he expects 70 to 150 million Americans to contract the coronavirus.
I mean, view this the same as the flu.
The mortality of this is multiple times what seasonal flu is.
Anybody that needs a test gets a test.
We don't have enough tests today.
We're very close to a vaccine.
When you're talking about the availability of a vaccine, you're talking about a year to a year and a half.
A lot of people think that goes away in April with the heat.
We do not know whether it's going to diminish as the weather gets warm.
The risk of contracting the coronavirus to the American public remains low.
We do expect more cases.
We can expect to see more cases in the United States.
We will see more cases, and things will get worse than they are right now. It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
I just want to read you some of what some of the doctors on the front lines of this crisis are saying.
You mean the ones that are saying good things or bad things?
I assure you, no one who is saying good things is a medical professional. You think in the middle of a global pandemic that's overwhelming our healthcare system and triggering an economic collapse, a reporter's going to raise their hands and say, Mr. President, I want to read you some of the beautiful tributes that are pouring in. Seriously, why are you like this? Why do you have the emotional maturity of a middle school student passing a note in class that says, do you like me? Check yes or yes.
So, Professor, would you say it's time for everyone to panic?
Yes, I would, Kent.
Romney's in isolation?
Yes.
Gee, that's too bad. Go ahead.
Then I'm radio on, then I'm television. I'm afraid of everyone, I'm afraid of everyone. Lay the young blue bodies with the old red bodies. I'm afraid of everyone, I'm afraid of everyone. With my kid on my shoulders, I try not to hurt anybody I like. But I don't have the drugs to sort. I don't have the drugs to sort it out. Sort it out. Yeah.
where I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible.
I worked in West Africa during Ebola. That was scary, of course. I worked in the middle of civil wars providing trauma care. There's something about this that feels kind of palpably worse. One, knowing that we're kind of just at the beginning of this. You know, case numbers are increasing on a daily basis. They're drastic increases. You're already hearing hospitals throughout New York City that are short on personal protective equipment, on ventilators, people setting up kind of these temporary morgues outside of hospitals. This idea that in 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to be somehow past this when we just recorded our first case here in New York City just over 3 weeks ago, to me is crazy magical thinking.
They came in, experts, and they said, we're going to have to close the country. I said, we've never closed the country before. This never happened before. Are you serious about this? Don't forget the doctors. If it were up to the doctors, they may say, let's keep it shut down. Let's shut down the entire world.
The Washington Post, Donald Trump increasingly minimizing and pushing aside top public health and experts in his own administration, quote, instead relying on advice from economic advisors and outside voices. Then there's Trump confidant Lindsey Graham telling the Post that Dr. Fauci is at odds with the president. Quote, he believes we should be doing more, not less. The president charting his own course, though, saying as recently as yesterday that, as we've reported, all this should be done by Easter.
President Trump now says he wants to reopen the country for business by Easter, even as health officials warn the coronavirus pandemic will continue to worsen in the U.S.
I'd love to have it open by Easter. Okay, I would to have it open by Easter. I will tell you that right now. Easter's a very special day for me. And I say, wouldn't it be great to have all of the churches full? You know, the churches aren't allowed essentially to have much of a congregation there. So I think Easter Sunday and you'll have packed churches all over our country. I think it would be a beautiful time.
It's so surreal that we ended up in a situation where the one person who doesn't understand how complex and dangerous this is happens to be the most powerful man in the world. It feels like if there was an asteroid hurtling towards the Earth, everyone would be trying to blow it up off course. And Trump would be like, I think we should give the asteroid a chance, folks. Maybe it's friendly. Because what's most mind-blowing about Trump's sudden impulse to get back to normal is that right now the situation is far from under control, especially here in New York, which right now has over half the country's confirmed coronavirus cases. And with coronavirus cases not even expected to peak until 2 or 3 weeks from now, the city is already in desperate need for more hospital beds, more medical supplies, more ventilators, which literally keep people breathing when they can't do it on their own. And Governor Cuomo definitely doesn't feel like Trump and the federal government are doing enough to help.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo blasting the federal government, saying it needs to provide more medical equipment like ventilators.
You want a pat on the back for sending 400 ventilators? What are we going to do for 400 with 400 ventilators when we need 30,000 ventilators? You're missing the magnitude of the problem, and the problem is defined by the magnitude.
And apparently, part of the reason New York isn't getting enough federal help is because Trump feels that Governor Cuomo is just too mean to him. This is an actual thing. Today, the Daily Beast quotes a White House official saying, if you're good and respectful to Trump, he will treat you the same. It's that simple. And yesterday, in an interview, Trump said pretty much the same thing right out in the open.
And we are doing very well with, I think, almost all of the governors for the most part. But, you know, it's a two-way street. They have to treat us well also. They can't say, oh, gee, we should get this, we should get that.
Yes, you treat Trump well and he'll treat you well. Or as he would call it, a quid pro corona.
I'm speaking on behalf of academic leaders at major institutions like the Mayo Clinic, NYU, which is in the heart of this outbreak right now, Johns Hopkins Hospital, University of California, San Francisco, Baylor, and the Mass General in Boston. We are planning for these events. We know there's a tsunami coming. We've modeled when it's going to hit our shores. And we're getting ready by canceling elective surgeries, canceling outpatient appointments, changing our operating rooms into ICUs. And our model predicts, at least in Philadelphia, it will probably hit our shores in mid-May, May the 10th. We should have 1,000 patients on ventilators across the Penn Medicine health system.
I don't take responsibility at all.
To help with the pandemic, we'll be sending every American a monthly supply of cucumber-flavored Juul pods. Spoken before your lungs are filled with coronavirus.
If America leaves social distancing behind too soon, if any country does it too soon, the experts have warned that many people could die. And most people would want to do whatever it takes to prevent that from happening. But there's an interesting strain of thought that's going around that maybe a lot of people dying is just the cost of a really great economy.
Overnight, backlash after the lieutenant governor of Texas suggested some seniors are willing to die to get the economy moving again.
Tucker, no one reached out to me and said, as a senior citizen, are you willing to take a chance on your survival in exchange for keeping the America that all America loves for your children and grandchildren? And if that's the exchange, I'm all in. And that doesn't make me noble or brave or anything like that. I just think there are lots of grandparents out there in this country like me. My message is that let's get back to work. Let's get back to living. You know, and if I get sick, I'll go and try to get better. But if I don't, I don't.
A doctor working at Elmhurst Hospital today told the New York Times that the situation there now is apocalyptic. In the past 24 hours, 13 coronavirus patients at Elmhurst Hospital died. The Times reports that some have died inside the emergency room while waiting for a bed. A refrigerated truck has been stationed outside to hold the bodies of the dead. The patients who get inside Elmhurst Hospital and get treatment are the lucky ones. Every day at 6 a.m., a line starts to form outside Elmhurst Hospital of people who want to be tested, and many wait all day and never get into the hospital, never get tested. The Times reports Julio Jimenez, 35, spent 6 hours in the emergency room on Sunday night after running a fever while at work in a New Jersey warehouse. He returned on Monday morning to stand in the testing line in the pouring rain. On Tuesday, still coughing, eyes puffy, he stood in the line for nearly 7 hours and again went home untested. "I don't know if I have the virus," Mr. Jimenez said. "It's so hard. It's not just me. It's for many people. It's crazy. It's crazy, and Donald Trump ignores it. Donald Trump has no idea what's happening in his old neighborhood tonight. Donald Trump has no idea that when we get through this to the point where we can return to some version of socially distant activities with other people, and Donald Trump is back on the golf course, Donald Trump has no idea that in his old neighborhood, that's when people will start to gather for the long-delayed funerals and memorial services that the people of Queens will be having then to honor their dead. And you can be absolutely sure Donald Trump won't attend any of the coronavirus funerals in his old neighborhood of Queens that is suffering so badly tonight while being ignored by the President of the United States.
I don't take responsibility at all.
So today was the first day that I've worked since our unit was designated the second COVID ICU in my hospital. And I don't know what the f*** just happened for the past 13 hours. Honestly, guys, it felt like I was working in a war zone. Completely isolated from my team members, limited resources, limited supplies, limited responses from physicians because they're just as overwhelmed as we are dealing with a ton of other stuff. So basically I just spent the last 13 hours like treating two critically ill COVID patients on the vent basically by myself. And this is my new normal for the next however many months that it takes for this virus to die down. So like I'm already breaking. So for fuck's sake, people, please take this seriously. This is so bad.
I don't take responsibility at all.
At this point, it's become clear that to get through this crisis, we're going to have to rely on state and local governments, our courageous healthcare workers, our public health experts, and each other. Because when it comes to Trump, the chances he'll provide real leadership are
close to zero.
Okay.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.